All right, we're studying corrupt or corrupted from Luke 12, verse 33. So let's go there again and get it in context.
Today's
Luke 12:33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself with bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. And we've seen that corrupteth means to destroy, to perish, to utterly perish, to corrupt.
The perfect investment.
Huh?
It's the perfect investment.
I don't understand that.
Perfect investment. That's where you put your money. Not your
no,
money.
Corrupt is the word we're studying.
He's talking about the whole.
Oh yeah, no, I understand that. But corrupt is the word we're studying. So let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6. Well, in order to understand it, we have to start in verse 1. Let as many servants or workers or hirees as are under the yoke count their own bosses or masters worthy of all honor, and the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters or bosses, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherein cometh envy, strife, and railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds. So that's what the minds are corrupt, because they're the mind of the evil one. Corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So here we have the mind as being corrupt, which could also be that which perisheth or that which is destroyed. Men have corrupt minds, supposing that gain is godliness. Anybody have a tendency to believe that?
More than a tendency. Why do you say tendency?
Well, I hope no one believes it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Backwards. I was thinking of it, which we've talked many times, is knowledge of God through scriptures is gain. And that's a hard one too.
Yeah, you gain. What things are gained to you are lost to Christ, by definition, no matter whether it's Bible study or whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Our only function is to be empty before him. You really understand that? All right, let's go now to Acts chapter 8. Still studying corrupt. Let's start in verse 5. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Now, so it's talking here about the money perish, but it's the money be corrupted totally, is what it says, okay?
What did you just say?
That word perish is the word.
Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee." Verse 20.
Yeah.
So that's the same word. I can't pronounce it. D-E-A-F-T-H-A-R-O. Defatharo, I think it's the way it's pronounced. Anyway. All right, let's look at Galatians. Let's go second. Where are we? We're in Acts. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start in verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here it's talking about us as our outward man does nothing but perish, does nothing but get corrupted. Amen? Remember this one verse that's taken from the Hallel. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. If you really believe, if it's with every muscle and nerve in your body, you can do nothing but speak. I mean, it's as natural as breathing. But if you're still working it out, which is fine, you don't worry about it. But recognize that if you believe, you will speak. Amen? All right. Now let's go to Colossians. Chapter 2. Verse 16, starting 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in food or in drink or in respect of holy days or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is Christ. This is where even the Sabbath day, and that's why it's so important to understand, the Sabbath was just a parable of Jesus Christ. The Jews had, from the very beginning of the Talmud, it's repeated hundreds of times, that when Messiah, it was stated this way, if Israel would keep the Sabbath correctly for just one day, then the Messiah would come. And then it changed, if even a few, you know, it went similar to that thing that we did with at Sodom, if 10 men or, you know. Yeah. And it went down. And then it finally came to if one Israeli would keep the Sabbath just one day, then the Messiah would come. Now, obviously, I mean, that was prophecy in the way, because it was Christ alone who kept the Sabbath perfectly only once while he was in the grave. And so the idea then that if all of Israel had never been able to keep the Sabbath perfectly, only Jesus Christ kept it for once, then it's tautological then that Jesus Christ is the only, he is the Sabbath. It's not a day of the week any longer. So it's important to understand, though, that if you try to keep any part of the law, then you have to keep it all. But if you, the one that's most difficult of all to keep is the Sabbath day. And if you don't see that Jesus himself is the Sabbath, then you'll always be deceived about being trying to do one or two things right. Amen? That's not the word we're studying. I just took a little side trip there. It's all right. Where are we? Oh, yeah, 16. Let no man therefore judge you in food or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. You understand what voluntary humility is?
Born out of your flesh and your desire to please God.
Yeah, but you're doing it. You're doing it. It becomes such. It's become so commonplace for it to have voluntary humility in the church that you don't even know you're doing it anymore. I mean, it's behavior patterns. It's being nice to each other. It's doing anything to see that you're trying to get it right. That's voluntary humility. And it is despised by the three personhood of the Godhead. We're still not where we're going to study, but we're getting there. Vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. With the increase, is that what it says? Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So, the perish with the touch not, taste not, handle not, etc., which all are to perish, is the same word. Be totally corrupted with the using. So, one more perish and then we'll quit for the day. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1 because it's a description of today's religion. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly then, them that walk or pursue a course of action after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So there we have both perish and corruption, using the same word twice. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, what does it mean as a brute beast? This isn't a good one. It means that you walk by your sensory perception and by your mind. You're walking as a brute beast.
What? Carefree and lack of any repentance.
Yeah, just the natural course of action. Instead of repenting, instead of seeing your death, you just continue on your own way. You put God's name on everything, but you're still walking as a brute beast. Amen? All right.
And that soliloquy, remember, it's all talking about false prophets, wasn't it?
Right, it's not just the prophets, it's the teachers, it's the people that listen to them, it's the yeah, let's go to Jude 10. We'll see it. Yeah, okay. It's just real quick. I think it's 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. There's no chapter 2. Verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as a brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. Biggest hallmark of the brute beast masquerading as a Christian is self-righteousness. All right. We're going on to other things. We have finished corruption. Everybody understand corruption a little better? Just means that which denigrates with time. Everything denigrates with time. Some things denigrate faster than others. If you light something on fire, then it. But the world is on fire, according to Ezekiel, because everything in it is denigrating with time.
That's why you should lay up treasures in heaven where there is no denigration.
Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let every thought and every word of your mouth have the component of eternity. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God from underneath the wings of the cherubim. That's the place called the oracle. Instead of all this other crap. All right.